pumped. He should get back this week if everything goes right, and we've missed him.
We've missed him a lot.
Tick and him haven't really played a lot together or at all. Like, how's that? I'm trying to remember the beginning of last year. I know Tig was on the bench. It was Gibson.
Yeah. Sean Gibson was playing.
So this is going to be, you know, obviously a work in progress. Two young players who haven't played a lot together. I don't know how much practice time they've gotten together. That is definitely going to be something to monitor.
No, it is.
And as we saw in the last game, a safety mistake can cause huge, huge momentum swing in a game.
And maybe we should just ban two high safeties.
How random is it that I read that article and then that came out? Like, that was a huge article this morning.
I mean,
and I couldn't believe it.
Oh, wow, there's a Tony Dungy tweet. Thanks, Dan, for including me in the legacy of cover two, but our Tampa, blah, 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 blah. I didn't see it. But
it's about the Lewis two high
Riddick,
safeties.
Lewis Riddick was saying, that's just ridiculous. He basically sent out the tweet saying, yeah, that's crazy talk. He brought up the muff putt, Jacob Cowell. He said he's dead. Matt Lively said that Jacob Cowell was muffing some punts in practice. So punt return. I thought of you immediately when he fumbled his punt snap. And
The amount of people I heard from who said, Joe, I feel the same way as a Niner fan, where when the ball's in the air, it's like, just catch it. The amount of people who are like, I wouldn't even put someone back there. I've heard from so many people who said that. Like, hey, if we get it at the one, we get it at the one.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's crazy, too.
But you don't field your own punt inside the 10.
No,
so
I hear that. I know that. But that punt returns, whether it's 20 to 30 to 40, 50, sitting Niners fumble punts all the time, but I'm not going to get PTSD about it. It's like, damn, we can't find a punt returner. I'm not going to live my life with PTSD in football. I'm not going to do it. But, you know, I did think of you, and I kind of chuckled. I kind of chuckled because I knew, oh, my God, they followed a punt, and everybody's scrambling for the ball. I kind of cackled. I'm not going to lie. I kind of cackled.
You cackled.
I cackled. I did. I kind of cackled.
See, this is the difference between a real fan.
Oh, yeah, real fan.
I'm just teasing.
Yeah, no, that's what you guys think. Oh, my God, Joe, I feel you. You guys lived your life on the edge.
The businessman in Bonte sat there and was like, hey, this fumble's good for business.
Hey, I sat there and said, hey, man, losses don't hurt me.
I am rooting against the Giants.
Losses don't hurt me. Almost bet on the Vikings in that game. That's how much you were talking. I was like, man, I may have to put some chicken on this. Kyle Shanahan.
Because I'm swaying the gods of football.
Kyle Shanahan.
Just one muff punt. I mean, just when it comes to catching stuff, he's been as natural of a catcher as we've had in our 8 years here. Just in practice, how he's been in the games. I know that one got away from him, which we can't have those, but everyone muffs one here and there, and you just hope that was the end of it.
Who has been their best returner in the 8 years that they've been here?
Take it.
Eight years.
Oh, Shanahan. No, they haven't had good punt return.
I mean, like, what? He's as good as we've had. Yeah, but they've all been kind of suspects.
It hasn't been pretty.
I mean,
it hasn't been pretty.
That's like, I led the Giants in home runs in 2018. It's like, well, not many people hit home runs in 2018.
That is crazy, though. That is crazy.
I mean, it might be rare even allowed. Biggest fumble ever.
Let's take the ball at the 1 yard line. It wasn't even Ray Ray's fault. Darryl Luter was blocking and hit his leg. What are you going to do?
Ray was suspect all year.
Yeah, but you can't blame that on Ray Ray in the Super Bowl. It hit Darryl Luter.
Your job is to catch the ball and you have one job.
Luter in the leg.
I know, but come on.
It hit him in the leg.
Come on.
You can't do anything
about
that.
Everyone's at fault in that. It's the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
And what they do on the very next play, touchdown, like right away.
McCaffrey fumbled. He fumbled.
No doubt.
Ray Ray, he should have been telling, hey, poison, get away. But Darryl Luter, he hit his leg. That's not on Ray Ray. Luter, get the hell out the way. Oh, my God. Kevin Byard, by the way, the safety for the Bears. If they ban too high safety, I'll retire.
Oh, yeah, right.
Hashtag dumb.
Yeah.
Hashtag dumb.
Hashtag not going to happen.
Hashtag dummy of the day, Mel Kiper. Matt Lively, KPIX. Brendan Aiyuk, listen to this.
We've seen the separation numbers and the advanced metrics and the Niners rank in the bottom half of the league and where their wide receivers are getting separation, which is making it tougher for Brock Purdy. But all I'll say is this. If you just got paid $120 million and you sat out the entire preseason, all of training camp, and now Debo Samuel is hurt and Christian McCaffrey is hurt, it better be your coming out party.
Mm.
Because after Brandon, you've got Juwan Jennings, who is great. You still have George Kittle. It's not like this offense is lacking weapons, but Ricky Pearsall isn't ready to go. Jacob Cowing might have to take more of a role. You might see Chris Conley out there more, but those aren't the sexy names that you want when you're thinking of the 49ers. It is Brandon Aiyuk or bust this week. He's got to have a big game to get his confidence up, to get this offense back in rhythm, because through 2 weeks, at the two games I've seen, it is a sloppy offense.
Why'd that hit you so hard? In the middle of him talking about Brandon Ayuk, you went, mm.
Just know how this stuff works with real fans.
What? How does it work?
Every catch, every drop, every route, whenever he jogs off the field, body language, the way he wears his uniform, the dreads being gone, now he's got braids. And people say, well, he's lost some juice, now he doesn't have dreads, all that stuff.
I've not seen that.
No, trust me, I've seen that, because that's what real fans do, right? We analyze everything, even the haircut. Like, when Kaminga cut his dreads, everybody, oh, my God, Kaminga cut the dreads, what's going on? Actually, the haircut, he balled out after the haircut. Balled out. Had a hell of a year.
The reverse Samson?
So, yeah, the reverse Samson. So, Brandon Ayuk, he's got to play well. There's no doubt this is a big game for him. This is a big... He cannot walk off that field with three catches and 37 yards.
Can I ask you a question? Did you really think him holding out the way that he did and being as vocal as he did all offseason was going to do him favors to start the season?
Of course not. Of course not.
So why are we that surprised?
No, I'm not surprised, but it's just hilarious to me. He's going to have... Like, he's not going to put up the numbers he did last season with the team that is... At the bottom of the list when it comes to throwing the ball per game.
Yeah, but they need him now more than they did last year.
They definitely need him. They definitely need him.
So why do you mean he's like, you're just already conceding that he's not going to have a great year?
No, I'm not conceding that at all. He could still have a great year and not put up the numbers he had last year. It may be 1,200. It may be 1,250. Maybe 1,300. But the expectations for him after holding in, I think some fans expect him, you got Jefferson money. You need to have 1,500 yards receiving. It's not going to happen on his football team. Just not. But Sunday, without Debo, without Christian McCaffrey, that magnifying glass on number 11.
Whoo-wee. Well, if he comes out and has another four-catch, 44-yard game, and the offense looks, you know, suspect.
And they can win the game. They can win the game.
You think so?
They can win the game. If they win and he has four catches for 30 yards, oh, my God.
Really? I think winning tamps down the frustration.
No, not with this fan base.
Really?
Not with this fan base.
You don't think?
Oh, hell no. Oh, Sasky, you've been doing this show with me.
Yeah, I kind of think a win is just needed. I think a win is just needed.
No, because it's the lowly Rams. They have nobody playing. Hell, the Niners could beat the Rams by 15 points this week. And there's going to be cynics out there saying, well, you better beat the Rams by 15. They have nobody playing.
Well, I would say to them, well, Bonte Hill told me, who was a very wise man, division games are just different, and you have to find a way to win.
There you go. See what I'm saying?
I know.
There you go. There you go. But you kind of make my point. People are still going to find a way to find an excuse. That's what we do in sports these days. That's what we do. They just admit it. You know it's true. They can win 20-17. Ayuk has three catches for 37 yards. Yeah, they won, but boy... Did we pay the wrong guy in Brandon Ayuk?
Well, I think that's a fair conversation to have as the season's going on and you see how he's being utilized, right? Like, again, and this goes back to the whole, like, financial component. Was it smart to pay someone $30 million who you never really target a dozen times a game? I think that's a fair conversation. That's not being a hater. It's more like business strategy. Case in point, right?
I just want to get 10 targets.
Is it smart for Joe Shasky to buy a boat when I don't live on a lake?
Mm.
Is it smart for Joe Shasky to buy a boat when I have no place to put it? Is it smart for Joe Shasky to have a boat when I'm not a fisherman? No. None of those things are true.
What if you just want to go out there lakeside and go, you know, roll out like Clay Thompson?
Is it worth the bang for the buck? So I do believe there's a fair conversation throughout the year of, was it smart business to give a guy $30 million a year when you're just never, by the way that this offense is and how you're set up, you're never going to throw to anyone 12 times a game other than Debo.
By the way, division games are different, except this Rams team is so damn beat up. They let Arizona drop 41 on them. That game looked personal for Arizona. So Rams have had their number in these division games. They've had their number.
Mm.
But it is Niners-Rams, so expect the unexpected.
One
more. But I'm looking. I'm looking at YouTube. Who just said that? Top five money, I want top five production. I'm saying, come on, man. You know how this works? You know how this works? I'm not saying anything that's a lie, right? Am I lying?
Mm.
Let's watch how this plays out. We're going to end the show, brought to you by Save Mart Lucky California.
You know, now we got Luca Acua.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Vontae and Shasky.
Now, Mel Kiper Jr. said, if in 8 years Jimmy Clausen wasn't a successful quarterback in the NFL, he'd quit ESPN. It's year 14. Will Mel Kiper Jr. be a man of his word? Said he quit his job if Jimmy Clausen wasn't a legit quarterback by year 8. Now he's got everybody running with this whole too high safety should be outlaw thing.
So for those that don't know what you're talking about.
Well, those know who I'm talking about. Those who don't know who I'm talking about. Mel Kiper Jr. said too high safety should be outlawed. He wants to see more deep passes. He's tired of the bubble screens. He's tired of the quick game. He's tired of it. It's boring to him. So he wants to see two high safeties. Each safety on the hash mark playing 10 to 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. He wants to see that outlawed. He only wants single high safety so he can see more deep shots. Poor Mel Kiper Jr. Football's boring to him now. I find his mock drafts to be boring. But listen, Ward Sharp had a great tweet.
You're more of a Daniel Jeremiah guy.
I'm more of a Charles Davis and Mike Mayock type of guy, NFL Network. Mike Mayock's really good on there. Charles Davis, too.
He hasn't been on there in like a decade.
Ever since he got the Raiders job. He needs to be back on there. But Daniel Jeremiah's not bad. Ward Sharp. Sharp football. I like Sharp. Top five ways to get more offense. Number one, only 10 men on defense. Number two, defense must sit until the snap. Number three, defenders cannot wear cleats, only sneakers. Number four, highest paid defensive player is blindfolded. And number five, band too high. Now, he's being sarcastic, of course. But all over ESPN, and running with the should too high safeties be bad. Damn. Must suck. I can talk about all day. Know what?
Clean it up, Ante.
Let's go to Adam in the city. Let him start the segment off. Adam, good morning.
How are we doing, guys? Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
You want two high safeties, man? Adam, real quick. You want two high safeties, man?
No. How about you just play better defense?
Or better offense?
Or better off. I mean, you know, just get it together. You know, I it's kind of sad because I used to love watching ESPN when it actually covered, you know, sports stories and the games. And now it's just everyone's headline that they want to make into some giant thing. So it's kind of sad to not be able to want to watch that show anymore because it used to be one of my favorites. But I had a question for both of you because I think both of you have gone, but I'm going to the game in L.A. this weekend. Any food recommendations at the stadium or around it?
Around it, it's just Inglewood. You got the Great Western Forum. I didn't eat around there. Inside the stadium, they've got your basic stadium food. Nothing special. Like just get some chicken strips or fries and call it a day.
All right, so it's not like Chase Center that we have like all the great food options available. I would have thought that they would have some good stuff in there.
Not there's only one Chase Center. There's only one Chase Center. Nate Thurman's Barbecue Sam's Chowder House.
Been an episode.
Hi, I'm Bonte Hill.
Jesus.
I mean, there's only one. You know, Dumpling Tiny. Not everybody could be Chase. You know what I'm saying? Stan Kroenke. Invest in some better food down there in SoFi. But I haven't walked around the entire SoFi, but the food's been Why are you looking at me like that,
man? No, I missed some of that call, but like the chicken tenders, that's the best thing at SoFi?
I mean, just call it. I mean,
that's like pretty a bad knock on SoFi if chicken tenders. Like, I love chicken tenders, but if that's your number one.
No, hold on. Don't quote me on this. You guys do this. I'm just saying, just get some chicken strips for fries and call it a day.
Okay.
Stop saying it's the best thing.
All right.
Just get some chicken strips for fries, call it a day.
I was screening a call when of it. I thought that you were saying chicken tenders are the pinnacle of SoFi food. I wouldn't come down your road there. I would say that's more a knock on SoFi Stadium's food if chicken tenders are the standard.
By the way, I'm still team soda. S-O-T-A.
Stop.
Wait, lost duck. Say to your
SODA.
I don't drink soda.
Clean it up, Ante.
Shasky, what's up, man? You've been quiet. It's the quietest you've ever been on the show.
I have a six pack. It's just under the dad bod.
I put down a list. can you give me some music? It doesn't matter what kind of music. Bonte, you referenced the San Francisco Giants this season as a season that has been very bizarre.
The end of the season. End of the season.
No, I think the season as a whole has been bizarre. I've got a list here of most bizarre seasons from Bay Area sports teams. Outside looking in. OLI. Oh. Your 2024 Giants. Number five.
Number five.
It's the 2021 49ers. The Jimmy Garoppolo thing. You got Trey Lance. The shoulder. They went to the Debo experiment. Then the offseason where you couldn't move off of Jimmy G. I mean, what the hell was going on? We heard more about Don Yee than we've ever heard about Don Yee ever again. Where you caped up for Don Yee for about 5 months. And then he's throwing on the baby field going into 2022. Well, it was bizarre.
Well, they advanced to the NFC Championship, okay?
It was bizarre. Number four.
Number four.
It's the 1992 Giants. They traded away Kevin Mitchell. They had one foot in the door in St. Petersburg. I didn't know what the hell was going on. It was bizarre.
Yeah, we were 10 years old.
The final year of Roger Craig. It was bizarre. You were earmarking money for Robbie Thompson and not Will Clark. Just very bizarre. Number three.
Number three.
It's the 2002 San Francisco Giants. Kent and Bonds clearly hated each other. Kent, remember, had already been in trouble for washing his car, yet he was doing wheelies on a Harley. And then Kent and him go at it, Bonds and him go at it in the dugout in front of everyone. And then Dusty Baker doesn't have his contract renewed, and they release his taxes? I mean, the whole thing was bizarre after losing the World Series. I mean, you want to talk about bizarre.
Well, that was the year they went to the World Series, right?
Yes, and they lost.
Yeah.
Kent gone, Dusty gone, the whole thing was bizarre.
2022 was fun, though. I mean, 2002 was fun.
It was fun, but it was bizarre.
It was very Barry Bonds. What was bizarre about those home runs?
Number two.
Number two.
It's the 2023. It's the punch. The punch. I mean, come on, you guys. The Clay return, the punch, Draymond, the whole thing. Just the whole thing.
Shot, you talking to me.
The Jordan Poole. Now I'm seeing videos this morning of Draymond and Jordan Poole from a couple of years ago. That is bizarre.
It's too much for me.
It's very interesting season of basketball for the Golden State Warriors. What Steve Kerr mentioned the other day on the Dan Lebertard show. They asked Steve Kerr, what's the angriest you've ever been at Draymond Green? And he mentioned the punch. The punch won't go away. The punch will live on. And if,
losing the way they did to the Lakers, I mean, beating the Kings because Steph says don't get on the bus if you're not ready to play. The whole thing was bizarre.
Well,
James Wiseman being traded.
Well,
come on.
15 minutes after they lost that game six, there was two articles from The Athletic. One on Jonathan Kuminga about showcasing his talents all around the country in case of a trade. And then there was the Draymond dynamic. And, hey, we maxed out this team with Steve Curry. It was unbelievable.
Maybe he was LeBron a hug first and foremost.
To put the 2012 Warriors on there with Mark Jackson. I'm fighting for my life because that was bizarre when the pastor got extorted by a lady of the night.
I'm thinking of some other ones too around there. 2014 A's trading away Cespedes the way they did.
I totally agree.
The collapse that they had, it was just like an accident you couldn't help but watch. And John Lester not throwing to first base.
That was just, he like short-circuited.
I was in Boston the day that trade went down.
Johnny Lester?
But I remember Giants fans who were going crazy because they weren't making no big moves. And we're like, what the hell's our big move? And somebody was like, the Kale Garden? That's all we got right now. The whole damn Kale Garden is center field. And everybody's losing their minds.
And the number one most bizarre season that's ever happened.
Number one.
It's the 2014 49ers. The whole thing. Just the whole thing. From the toxic locker room, moving down to Levi Stadium, Jimmy Ward getting baptized on whatever, primetime football. The hug with Jed and Harbaugh. We reached the mountaintop.
More bizarre than Singletary?
What?
More bizarre than Singletary?
Bonte, that team had expectations.
Yeah, but Singletary has some. I mean, they had expectations, too. And yeah, Jed York tweeting Adam Schefter, texting Adam Schefter, we will win the NFC West after dropping the 0-5.
Yeah,
I mean, you had Troy Smith going at it with Singletary. The Singletary years were pretty damn bizarre, too.
Kaepernick in 2014 was just, it was a lot going on there. And then you had Harbaugh's final year. You had Patrick Willis retiring, Justin Smith retiring. I mean, Frank Gore gone. Like, it was just, it was a lot.
I got to say, man, that's a good list, by the way.
You like that?
It's a good list.
The most bizarre seasons I can remember.
Truth Hurts on YouTube. I don't really get along with him, but he does come up with some good material now and then. Truth Hurts is a funny day because all he does is lie. But he says, you need a one-on-one interview with Draymond Green. And Somebody who was this who said that interview would feed families. That would do numbers, wouldn't it? It wouldn't do numbers. It would be
you like that two-thirds. List, though, huh?
Yeah, I disagree with some of it. I mean, I don't. When we talk about Bizarro, we need the think pieces to come out, though. The think pieces on Harbaugh, the think pieces on Singletary, the think pieces on Mike Nolan, the think pieces on Dennis Erickson,
the think
pieces
on Mariucci. What's there to think about Singletary? He dropped his trousers. That was the high water mark. We were done.
There was a lot going on with Singletary. The timeout on the field against the Atlanta Falcons, huddling the team up, and then they give up a 90-yard bomb to Roddy White. I mean, there was a lot of things going on with Mike Singletary. A lot.
Troy Smith.
Michael Crabtree and the whole holdout. You know, I mentioned Troy Smith, him yelling at Singletary, going crazy. Troy Smith trying to break the team down after beating the Rams in overtime to improve to 5-6, thinking that there's a hope for a playoff spot. That was bizarre. Bizarre.
I'll never forget the Texans game when they came out and Alex Smith he's in the game and they're going three wide and it was like the Niners jumped into the 21st century going three wide. Oh, that was bizarre.
2000. You can go with a lot of Raiders seasons. Just every single one of them has probably been bizarre in their own way. But the 2008 one with firing Lane Kiffin. Al Davis going projector mode.
Well, that's
you got Jakarcus Russell out there just not watching anything. Like, there's just so many layers in the Bay Area with storylines.
I know you did that list off the cuff, but not included the Raiders in that list is actually because more bizarre.
The Raiders bizarre. Are their own category.
Yeah, but you say
they have their own top five list.
Exactly.
Just in the
2000s. No, that's no not, McClain no, experience.
No, that's not fair. Yeah, that's not fair.
DHB. I mean, no,
come on. They're part of Bay Area sports. The A's in the 70s winning three straight championships and fighting each other every single day.
50 years ago.
I don't
ago.
Care. It's part of the Bay Area
it's
sports scene.
Out of the demo.
We also weren't alive for
you know how many old guys call our show?
I love
guys over 60?
But they don't have a meter.
Oh my God.
Well, we get Gene in Oakland to call in and talk about those bizarre 70s teams.
Seriously.
I mean, come on, man. We talk about sport. You can't bring up Frankie Albert to talk up John Brody, and then when we bring up the 70s A's, you just dismiss them. That's dismissal. The Raiders had so many bizarre situations.
I'll throw in another bizarre Raiders season, that 2017 season, right after, you know, where was it? They start off 0-2, lose that game in Washington on Sunday
night.
They were
2-0.
Sorry, 2-0. Yeah, 2-0. Sorry, they started off 2-0, lost that game in Washington. That season just went off the rails after that. That was an incredibly bizarre
because they beat the Jets.
Season.
They dropped 45 on the Jets on Sunday.
Marshawn was dancing on the
sideline. Football hour. My kind of football hour. It was great. Romo, Lo'Neal, Greg Papa.
Bonte, let me tell you.
Guess why.
Well, he once told me in that interview, he goes, you know, Bonte, I know I need to dial it down. One day at Veterans Stadium, we're playing the Phoenix Cardinals, not the Arizona Cardinals, we're the Phoenix Cardinals at the time. He goes,
we stumped the
and Larry Centers was playing fullback, and I stomped on his head 7 times. And I knew I took it too far. And I was like, whoa, 7 times? You think what time?
That would have been enough.
I don't know if it was seven times, but damn, Romo, I get the point.
How about the whole, point. Like, the line isn't going to block for Derek Carr because he didn't kneel?
Oh, yeah, that was
the Donald that was Penn, after the Jets game.
The Donald Penn fighting a fan in the parking lot.
Let's go 21
That's
mil.
What I'm saying. He and got
Antonio
out the car.
Brown freezing his feet right. off.
No, but Donald Penn got out the car and walked up on dude. You know what? But that fan was talking big talking. It's like, dude, you got to stop talking to these dudes like that, man. You got to be careful with these athletes. Donald Penn almost slugged the guy who walked out the car. It's like, dude, Donald, get back in the car, man. But no.
Get back in the car.
Dude's going to clock that young kid.
Niner fans tried that with Trent.
Dude, they dropped 45 on the Jets. Marshawn's dancing on the sideline. Coliseum's rocking. We do the football hour and everyone pump goes, you know, I thought this would be a good year, but I didn't think the whole damn thing could come together this quickly. We're thinking big playoffs. And then DC happened.
Well, that happened because they fired Bill Musgrave and they brought in who's
Bill
my guy?
Musgrave.
Todd Downing.
You know he's part of a staff.
Todd Downing.
Well, he was just an OC recently with the Tennessee Titans.
Where's he at? Oh my God,
I know he got a DUI like last year and then he got demoted.
Todd Downing is in. Oh yeah, that's right. I saw this getting ready for the Jets game. He's the quarterback coach and passing game coordinator for the New York Jets right now.
No wonder they suck.
He was the OC for a couple of years in Tennessee. Oh, man, Todd Downing, the gift that keeps on giving. However, PFF named him
Stop it.
Quarterbacks Coach Stop of the Year it. In 2015.
Stop.
I swear to God, it says it on his wiki.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Are you in or out on PFF? Make a decision right now.
I've been out on PFF.
Okay, you use
it. I've never used it. No, I'm using it as a joke. PFF named him quarterback coach of the year in 2015.
Well, we can agree, though, because of the A's ownership situation and because the Raiders are the Raiders, it's almost impossible to not have their own top five lists individually. Correct? The ineptitude runs deep.
Nah, you gotta. They gotta be on this.
I mean, really, play every various sports team. You could probably get their own top five list.
That's what I'm saying. You could.
I mean, Cal Berkeley had some bizarro this with Todd Bozeman back in the 90s.
Well, there were those years with the tree sitters players. Too. Remember
who?
The tree sitters outside the stadium. They're trying to upgrade the stadium. That got delayed a couple of years because the hippies were sitting in the trees, not letting them cut them down.
That's right.
I forgot about
those hickory trees, man.
So like, holy cow, would that be a thing?
We need them to breathe, man.
Shout out Cal Twitter, by the way.
So I mean, hey, once a year,
Cal Twitter is a thing.
I'm not gonna lie, is this bizarre? Which the buzzword of the day: bizarre, bizarre, bizarre. Is it bizarre that once a year I have to watch the Al Davis projector press conference? I do it like once a year. I have to. I sit through the whole damn thing.
Who's the MVP of that?
Oh, it's Herrera, Mr. Herrera.
I was going to say Tim Kelly.
I was going to say the projector.
No, the projector, yeah.
Okay.
No,
I love that we all walked away with three different MVPs.
The Kawakami situation with Herrera was different. That was a different day. That was a different day.
Wasn't that the same right before that?
No. That was a different day, but... John Herrera was home. John, you got the projector? And we know his daughter. She went to SF State, Julie.
We're 9 days away, September 28th of 2008 when that happened. So 16 years ago, next Saturday.
Honestly, that whole damn thing with Big Dog City, could not believe. It was legendary. Did everybody sign in? Everybody sign in? Cam, how's your mother?
And you know, maybe we just replay that whole thing next week and honor the anniversary.
I kind of wanted just to 45 minutes, which is mail it in. 9 o'clock hour. Listen. Listen. When he goes, there's so much stuff. Jamarcus Russell, Javon Walker, Dan McFadden. He was not. And he was talking about I was going to fire him after the Buffalo game. He FedExed him the termination letter. I was just,
hey, Lane's got them boys cooking.
Hey, you know what, Lane? Congrats to Lane. He quit drinking. He's quit drinking. Got his life in order.
I'll say this. Lane is perfect in college because he can recruit. I mean, that guy can recruit. I think he's going to Florida next. He's got Boca Raton written all over him.
Well, Gainesville's kind of far from Boca Raton.
Oh, no. That's where his summer house would be.
No, yeah.
He started off in there. Boca. He's a Boca guy.
Athletic.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, his Florida Athletic teams made a lot of money for gamblers.
Mm-hmm.
They were covering spreads, brother. Hey, they was running up the score. That was, FAU, hey, Mo Money, FAU. FAU's playing today.
I miss Al Davis. Gosh.
Can you just give me some Al Davis clips, please?
I'm going to
take
him.
They always say, take what the defense gives you. Take what the defense gives you. I say, we're going to take what we want. We're going to drop the bomb. Will we want all day long? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Hit the quarterback. Give me some Al Davis right now. And you know what? I'll get Bud in Oakland. He's been on hold for a while. Let me click this. Can I click it? Does it work? No. Can I? There we go. Bud in Oakland. It's happening.
What's good? Hey, Sasky, man, I just want to say, you know, Oakland has always been hated and underappreciated. So by you leaving us off your list, you know, we expect that. And you may not have did it intentionally, but, you know, you you said Bay Area sports list, and you intentionally left the Raiders off. And, you know, that's fine. You know, we've always been underappreciated.
Hey, bud, hold on. I don't underappreciate you guys. You guys treated me right when I covered the Raiders. I love covering the Raiders. I got love for Oakland, California, baby.
I'm just speaking Oakland intentional. You know what I'm saying? The East Bay, man. You don't will get enough love. But anyway, you know, with them talking about that getting rid of the too high safety, that's soft. Just like you said, Al Davis said, we'll take whatever we want. You got to have that Raider state of mind. I don't care if you got two safeties up there. I'm throwing the ball deep.
Yep.
I got a speedster that's going to burn past you. You know, you got to keep the defense honest. And you can always set up in the single high and still, when the play develops, you still send a man out there.
Yep.
You can set up. It's all about disguising the defenses. So I think they're just trying to soften the game up. They're just trying to make it easier for these guys. And to me, that's just soft.
Well, let me ask you. Can you write the history of the NFL without Mel Kiper Jr.? I mean, come on, man. We're listening to Mel Kiper Jr. right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, man, where's Chris Berman? You know, I'd rather hear some Chris Berman than some whoop, 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 whoop. You know, I want to hear something else, man. But, I mean, you know, I guess he's the guy. You know, I guess somebody you can take it for what you want, man. But real quick, I want to talk about Brock, right? But I'm not talking about Brock Purdy. I'm talking about Brock Bowers, the guy who's from the Bay Area. He's from Napa. You know what I mean? This guy is balling out. The Raiders were ridiculed about taking the pick, and now that he's balling out amongst he's making franchise records for tight ends or NFL records for tight ends, and they're still not giving us the juice. But I just want to talk about Brock, but not Brock Purdy.
Can I ask you a question?
Call, baby.
Don't you think you could do a top 10 list of bizarre Raiders seasons? They've been to playoffs one time, two times in 22 years. I mean, like, come on. They could have their own list.
Oh, yeah. You can, man, please, man. Just, I think you guys mentioned it, the Super Bowl season where we lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know what I mean? That was crazy itself. Getting rid of John Gruden in middle of the season, then he goes and coaches the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we meet them in the Super Bowl. Wow. Is that not bizarre? That's probably, like, number one.
Yeah, that's crazy. Jimmy G, Shayla Fraff got this as we get deeper into Rams.
I had a dream that someday I would build the finest organization in professional sports. I had certain philosophies of my own that had to become part of whatever I was to do. And that was, number one, what I call the vertical game. We were going to stretch the field vertically. When we came out of the huddle, we weren't looking for first downs. We didn't want to move the chains. We wanted touchdowns. We wanted the big play, the quick strike.
Love that.
It's number one to say you want to do that. It's number two to say that you have the players to do it. But it's number three to do it. To do it on first down of any football game for that defense that you're playing against. For those cornerbacks who play out there on the corners to know that the Raiders are coming at you. They're coming at you on top, and they've got the speed to do it, and they will do it. It's like having the bomb and being willing to drop it.
Dude, so good. Who was it telling us that they would want intentional balls thrown toward Al Davis?
Who said? Oh,
was it Romanowski? He's like, Steve Young, throw me one close to Al Davis so I can give him a shoulder.
Right.
God, Romanowski.
He said he hated because he hated them for those Denver days, obviously. Right. But then he ended up loving them.
Oh, he was a perfect Raider.
He was a perfect Raider.
Absolutely perfect.
It makes sense. Can you go to the other one where he talked about the quarterback must go down, he must go down hard? Al Davis is something else, man. And he's right, though. I want those quarters sticking first down, second down, third down. I'm testing you, buddy. We're going to stretch the field deep.
Well, defensive theory evolved early on in the 60s. To number one, pressure. Put pressure on the pocket. We do believe that this is a game psychologically of intimidation. Enough fear. I don't mean cowardly fear, but fear. And I think this, that somewhere within the first 5 to 10 plays of the game, the other team's quarterback must go down. And he must go down hard.
I mean, long live Al Davis, man. Rest in peace. Gosh, I miss that guy. Damn, I wish I got to work. I wish I was in media when he was owning. To be the press for Al Davis, to be in his presence.
And now Tom Brady's trying to be an owner. What a world.
It's what crazy.
What a world. Miss all those big time guys. You know,
Phil Villapiano, yeah, Joe Jackson.
No, I'm just talking about the owners, though. The old school.
Owner. Eddie D. I miss seeing
him around. Eddie D. I miss seeing him around. Al Davis. Who's my guy in Buffalo? I'll try to think of. I forget who else I tried to think of in Buffalo, but he was an old school guy. Lamar Hunt, of course.
But you got Joe Lacob.
Yeah, we do have it. Lacob reminds me a little of those guys.
Yeah.
He's aggressive like that. He is.
Was it Ralph Wilson?
Ralph Wilson. Ralph Wilson Stadium. I'm starting to think of Ralph Wilson. Old school owners, man. Joe Robbie down in Miami. It was named Joe Robbie Stadium for so long. Then obviously he moved on. I think the Huizingas bought them, and then they bought the Marlins, and they were terrible owners. The old school owners. That philosophy.
What about Jerry Jones?
Oh, he's a joke. He's trying to be Al Davis. He's trying to be Al Davis.
How about you, Cowboys?
Yeah! Al Davis, man, opened a lot of doors. He did open a lot of doors. We'll ask Kirk Morrison, tomorrow about single high safeties and whether or not they should pay two high safeties and play single high. Sometimes you need to play single high because the team can't throw the ball.
But why does the mere suggestion bug you so much?
It's just, might as well just play flag football. I mean, like, just because of his rationale. Mel Kiper's rationale was, I want to see more deep throws, so eliminate two. Look, I want to see more deep throws. Let's talk about it on Monday. Yeah. Deep shots. I want to see deep shots from the Niners. But let one fly.
I went through the numbers, and he's explaining to you, and I literally, before he even came up with the quote, right. I read the whole entire article. 24% of all league throws right now are at the line of scrimmage or behind it. We are at a percentage highest in terms of those types of throws, and the air yards are the lowest since 2006, since they started tracking this. Even Patrick Mahomes, about 40% of the time, is throwing it at or behind the line of scrimmage.
But I give those defenses credit. Baltimore's no punks. They don't give stuff up over the top. They're no slouches when it comes to defense. Cincinnati, who's that defense coordinator's name? I forget his name. Amarillo or whatever it is. He's been up for a head coaching job. Guy's really good at his job. Really good running the defense. So you're not going to get everything. You got to sometimes nickel and dime your way down the football field to score points. Cincinnati's a damn good defense.
But would you agree that the NFL, though, of all the major sports, does put a lot of tinkering into their rule book year after year after year?
But to ban a formation.
It's just a suggestion.
To ban... And say, you know what? I want to see Kenny Stabler. He went straight to the 70s. Like we did. I'm wearing Dan Marino's jersey right now. You know what Dan Marino was known for? Letting it fly. Whether it's three safety high, two safety high, single high safety, didn't matter. Prevent, he was letting it fly.
Yeah, but you Drew didn't Bledsoe, throw over the middle of the field. But like, I hear you, but you didn't throw over the middle of the field because you'd get someone's head thrown off. So you had to throw vertically. So now, like, everything is over the middle of the field because they've adjudicated out all of the big hits, right? Like the Bernard Pollards and the Dante Whitners and, pick whoever you want. Right. Whoever you thought that thumper was Steve Atwater. You cannot play safety this way anymore. They will not allow you to.
Right.
That's why Deebo Samuel is so valuable because he's fearless and he'll go over the middle.
Exactly.
But there are other guys like Jalen Waddle who's like a slender frame and Devontae Smith. I don't know what they would have looked like in another era, but I know now they're able to make a lot of money going over the middle of the field, whereas if they didn't get those rules in place where you can't hit a defenseless receiver, the game would look a lot different. So I know it's an absurd suggestion, but I get why he's trying to do something.
Yeah, well, it's week two. We got to relax. It's week two. It's going to take a time. It's going to take time for these guys to get in rhythm. The NFL has never had turnover like this when it comes to the salary cap league. You got guys mixing and matching and jumping all over the place. The wide receiver position trades flying off the board. Offensive line play has never been worse. I've been saying this about offensive line play for years. I'm not trying to say I'm right or anything, but the trickle-down effect in college football and the way they play college football compared to the NFL with quarterbacks getting under center, getting up in the three-point stands and all that stuff, offensive line play is at an all-time bad. So when you have porous offensive line, are you going to hold the ball and try to chuck it deep? No, you got to get the ball out quick. Offensive line play is awful.
I mean, I want to be like, yeah, which is why, one of your veteran guys should be in camp early and get that synergy because that's an advantage for your team. But you talk about under center. The team with the number one most under center snaps, the New Orleans Saints.
Boom.
Did you know that? 60% of the time they're under center.
Boom.
This year through two games, a Kubiak offense. And they also, 40% of the time, give or take, are throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage.
And so
interesting.
Are we going to limit shotgun then? If we're going to eliminate two high safeties, we're going to eliminate the shotgun formation?
Well, there was a time in Brett Favre's career, he talked about it, like, not once did he go in a shotgun until 2000 or 2001 or something. And I'm like, there's no way that's possible.
No,
it was.
It's
true.
Everybody in the 90s was under center.
Yeah.
There was rarely, you get an occasional team running shotgun on third down. You had the K-gun with Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
But other than that, everybody was under center. Now you had the whole spread formation and everybody is lining up a shotgun and offenses are getting cute with their bubble screens and everything like that. You know what? Let me have two high safeties at times. Let me have that. The Tampa 2 was made famous by Dungy and company and all these guys. Like, it's just a ridiculous suggestion, that's all. We're going to eliminate a defensive alignment? That's just very, very strange for me. Very, very strange.
I don't know. I'm never going to dismiss a suggestion to make the game more freed up, because I look at all the other sports, they've made a lot of different moves, and some of them have worked out. Like, no hand checking, 3 seconds, defensive 3 seconds has actually helped the NBA.
No, but this suggestion is dumb to me.
Okay.
I'm open for the suggestions, not this one. They've already done enough to open up the game. They've done enough. We just had an offensive influx over the last years, and the guys can't touch them. How many defenders we hear complaints like, dude, we can't even touch these guys. You can't breathe on them. Targeting, going over the middle, press man, bump and run at the 5 yards, illegal contact hands to the face. You're getting a spot foul for pass interference. That's another suggestion I want. Here's my suggestion. Can we make pass interference a 15-yard penalty? And if it's an egregious pass interference, then you make it a spot foul. But if it's accidental contact, guys get tripped up, you throw PI, you know what? Make it a 15-yard penalty and not a spot foul. That's my suggestion. Not eliminating too high safety. That is ridiculous. Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
We start off. Nobody wants to talk? Fast Five?
Here's my final thoughts. I'm going to get a haircut today. And there's something about going to get a haircut that just gives you a little pep in your step.
I know, because you tell everyone when you leave the office when you're getting a haircut. You love getting haircuts.
I do.
You let the entire building know when Joe Shasky's getting a haircut.
What's wrong with that?
No, it's just funny.
I love getting a haircut. Shout out Chris. Shout out Dog Patch Barber. I'll go see him shortly. You know who just got his wedding haircut from the Walnut Creek Dog Patch location randomly? Stephen Langford.
Stephen Laker low-key looks like a certain vice presidential candidate. I'm just going to leave it there.
The Sam's in the background.
Why did he get a haircut so early? Why did he get the haircut on Friday
Thursday? You got to let it like a couple days.
I get my haircut on Friday, let it rot. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you got to let the grow in a little bit.
Yeah, just
so
a little.
It doesn't look too new.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
You got to have the new.
Well, we have different types of hair,
yeah,
Monte. You
true.
Can look
yeah,
clean.
You
know, like, we got to let it. Yeah.
All right, I get it. I get it.
White guy hair is a unique thing.
It is true. Veggie Delight does make a good point. You do love haircuts if you wear a hat every day.
I'm wearing the hat because of the hair being too long.
Let me see your hair right now.
Well, it's a little too long. See?
Oh, my God. That's not long.
Well, I find it silly that Shasky thinks his hair is too long.
This is like, this is all over the place.
Well, the way
it's
I view
curly,
it
though.
Is, I know by, you know, how the wings look, the sides.
You definitely have the shortest hair on this show. That's what the funniest thing is.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lumber.
My final thought is I see a lot of people on Giants Twitter being like, whoa, where's this Giants team been after taking two in a row against the Orioles? Looking at some of these Orioles numbers, I think the Giants just kind of stumbled into a late season Orioles collapse. They cannot hit water if they fell out of a boat right now. The Orioles bats are ice cold, so maybe they'll get a sweep over a non-Colorado Rockies team today. That's a, ooh, yay. Steiny's right behind me, so I want to be my Steiny yay.
That's actually your best final five thoughts under pressure you've had in the history of the show.
There's pressure there?
Yeah, Steiny's looking right at you.
Oh, Steiny doesn't bring any pressure.
Oh,
I do better when Steiny's watching, actually.
Like Tiger Woods, do you make love to pressure?
It's, you know, we have our thing.
Like Billie Jean King, pressure is a privilege, as you all know.
Pressure's a compliment, really.
There you go.
Pressure makes diamonds, San Quinn.
Sure. Shout out Blood Diamond. Great movie. Leo DiCaprio. I think it's kind of underrated.
Diamonds are so are forever. There you go. That's what Kanye told us.
Thanks, Yeezus.
They all are.
Conflict free. You can get lab grown diamonds, as you all know. We're all over the place here. But my final thought is this. Dave Fleming said it. And actually, I'm going to go back to last week when Matt Steinmetz is all of our final thoughts. Steiny was the one who told me. Yes, Steiny. Matt Steinmetz, that Avery Johnson from Kansas State was going to be the next big thing. Matt Steinmetz told me that last week.
You know why? Because his daughter attends Tulane, and he was locked in on the Tulane Kansas State game. Yep. A game that Tulane choked away. Blew it. The quarterback was trying to do too much. Fumble. Boom. K-State recovers it. 70-yard touchdown. We watch K-State around here.
Mm-hmm.
We know about K-State. Quarterback's not bad.
And he's from Kansas to Wichita.
Yeah.
Homegrown. He wanted to stay there. He got recruits all over the country, but stayed in his home.
Stayed in his hometown of Placate. You know who else they had? They have Dylan Edwards, the running back who was at Colorado last year. He's from Kansas. He went back home to play running back out there at K-State. So K-State, Wildcats, dark horse for the college football playoff. My final thought, what are the New York Jets going to look like tonight against the Patriots? I'm actually excited for this game that a lot of people are not excited about. AFC East, both teams are 1-1. What's Aaron Rodgers going to look like on primetime?
I'm actually excited about the Giants.
fun fact to ask you.
Oh, go ahead.
About your squads. Most consecutive gold gloves in Major League Baseball history.
It's got to be Brooks Robinson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 16. Baltimore Orioles.
Who's number two?
Ooh.
And all position players, not pitchers.
Ooh.
Yachty?
Nope.
Ooh. I'm going to buy. I got to take a guess because you always, it's better to guess. Omar Vizquel?
Nope. Ozzie Smith?
Ozzie Smith.
And then Roberto Clemente because we just celebrated Roberto Clemente Day 12 in a row.
Yeah, Ozzie Smith, the wizard. The Wizard of Oz. That was Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Who the hell wants to bear two-eye safety? Come on.